248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Special Report. Prosecutors are still delivering closing arguments in Donald Trump's civil fraud trial in New York now, but the former president continued to rant to the media after the judge in this case cut him off in court.
They don't have any facts. They don't have any evidence against us. Millions and millions of pages, years of litigation, and all politically motivated.
Trump called the case a witch hunt, claiming the state's attorney general is trying to keep him from getting reelected.
She's got serious Trump derangement syndrome. There's no question about Letitia James, the corrupt attorney general of New York.
Legal analyst Rebecca Royfe.
The state's argument is very clear here, which is we have put on plenty of proof that the former president inflated his assets by a huge amount in order to enrich himself and his family. So it doesn't have to do with damaging anybody else. It's that he got this special benefit that nobody else got as a result.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jerry O'Connor is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel.
Right now, the hurdle is very high to fully prosecute and convict a sex trafficker. This is going to make that process more clear, and I think it's a better direction for law enforcement, the courts, and for prosecutors.
The bills would increase awareness, impose tougher punishments, and make it easier for victims to sue traffickers. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled for Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than a quarter of a million as of December 23rd. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids Firefighters Charitable Foundation has changed the date of their 2024 Charity Ice Golf Scramble. It was originally scheduled for January 27th, but the ice doesn't look like it'll be safe by that date. They've changed to their backup date of February 17th. They care about your safety first and want to give you enough time so you can plan ahead. The event will take place from noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday, February 17th at the Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. Registration starts at noon and they'll have live music from 5 to 9 with the Jason McNabb Duo. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is urging pregnant women in Wisconsin to get the RSV vaccination to protect their baby from the virus. As of January 10th, over 1,400 people in Wisconsin have been hospitalized with RSV, with almost 600 of those being children under the age of two. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
Badgers beat the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, number 15th ranked Wisconsin, battled but got the win at Ohio State. The final 71-60, Max Klesman scoring 18 points in the second half. Number 11th ranked Marquette upset at home, losing 69-62 to Butler. The Golden Eagles now have lost three of their last five. College football, after 17 years at Alabama, Nick Saban announces his retirement from coaching. Saban is 72 years old. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday. At 12-5, the Cowboys are the best team Green Bay has faced all season. I asked Jordan Love, they found a way to win against the Chiefs. Is that going to help them this week in Dallas?
But definitely one of the best defenses we've seen all year. But I mean, yeah, like you said, going back to the Kansas City game, Detroit, I mean, those are two games we played really good defense as well. So just having that mindset, we got to play our best ball. And obviously going to the playoffs, a mindset, you know, be able to take advantage of every play, execute every play, and be able to play at a high level going against them because they do a really good job.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm watch has been issued for our area. Some freezing drizzle will roll in overnight, with snow ramping up tomorrow morning. 2 to 5 inches will fall throughout the day, with winds whipping near 40 miles per hour. Friday night, as snow continues, it turns fluffier, but still puts down another 1 to 3 inches. Currently, it's 28.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 11th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Anna James, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison. Looking forward to that. Right now, I've been looking forward to this all week, Sally. We have Sally Kistner with us, Executive Director of the Arts Council of Southwood County. Thanks for being here, Sally.
Thank you.
And as always, Sally brings us a great guest. And we've got Michael Knight joining us right now to talk about MJ the Illusion, Reliving the King of Pop. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate the time, Michael. I know how busy you must be. And I also appreciate the fact that you are impersonating somebody with the same name, first name. It makes it really easy for guests, for hosts, you know, really easy for me. The time, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. Everybody says the same thing. They go, yeah. What's your name? Michael. They go, come on, what's really your name?
I want to talk about your show. I want to talk about Michael Jackson a little bit with you. But before we get to any of that, let's get to know you a little bit first, sir.
Okay.
What can you tell us a little bit about your origin story, Michael? Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, but I currently live in Branson, Missouri. I've been performing like Michael. I've been dancing like him since I was about 12 years old. Started off as just being a fan, trying to mimic his dance moves like everybody else. And my aunt saw me dancing outside, and she goes, you know, your uncle, he can do all that, like moonwalk and pop and lock. And I was like, no way. And I ended up calling him up, and he could have been a professional breakdancer. He was absolutely phenomenal. But that's kind of where my roots kind of began from learning how to pop and lock and break, and then I kind of converted that into just strictly Michael Jackson.
I'm guessing that our stories may stop being parallel after this, Michael. But I got into acting when I was young, and I've been in radio for 22 years and been acting since I was a kid. And my first entertaining I ever did was breakdancing. Me and my friend Jamal, we got together, breakdanced, I was about 8-9 years old, and I was trying in my shoes to do the moonwalk, and I couldn't do it. I took them off, and I got it down, and then I put them on and started to be able to do it. To prep for the interview here, because I'm a professional interviewer, I tested myself to see if I could still moonwalk. Had to take the shoes off. I couldn't do it in my shoes. I was so disappointed in myself. I was mad.
I completely understand that. You know what's funny is whenever I teach somebody, you know, because a lot of people ask me all the time how to moonwalk and stuff, and I usually, during meet and greets, I'll usually show them and teach them. I always tell them to wear socks and practice one side first and then do the other side. Don't just try to just jump right into trying to do it, because it's okay. So it's kind of like when you pat your head and rub your belly. Your subconscious, right, wants, because they think of what the visual aspects of the moonwalk is, and that's walking backwards but sliding back. So they slide back the bent leg, but if they did the complete opposite and slid back the straight leg, that is how the illusion works. As one leg slides back, your knee appears to be coming forward. But it's actually pretty good that you did it, and you would have to take your shoes off. I didn't get that freedom. My uncle taught me in a pair of Nikes on carpet.
Oh, you are good, sir. You are good. That is impressive. Yeah. That ain't easy.
I gotta tell you, in that medium, when you get it down
and be able to still create the glide and still create the slide. Oh, man, when I was in school, in high school, I was doing it on carpet. I was doing it on grass. I was doing it in the halls. And then that's actually how I got my nickname, Michael Jackson.
Nice, nice. That leads me perfectly to why Michael Jackson. Now, certainly, I think why it's understandable. The man had a multiple decade career, billions of hits, king of pop. I mean, I could see, you know, certainly wanting to cover somebody like that with that body of work and everything. But again, why? Because it's all of the things I just said. There's an expectation there. There is quite the bar that you're looking to reach. What was it about Michael Jackson that you wanted to do a show like this?
You know, because people ask that, you know, how I became a fan and all of that. You know, I kind of feel like Michael Jackson came into my life at the perfect time. It wasn't a thing that I got brought up where my family loved Michael Jackson or anything like that. In fact, you know, I was born in 85. So, you know, I'm a late 80s, 90s kid. Mm-hmm. And growing up, Michael Jackson was not the hip guy, you know, gangster rap was. Yeah. And following my big brother, who was on that same path, I started going towards that path because that was where him and his friends were going. And Michael Jackson, I was watching VH1 and I saw of Black or White, and it was weird because I didn't remember him looking like that. I remembered him looking like the Thriller, and I didn't know anything about him. And the next day, I went online and I started looking him up, and then I saw Motown 25, which was extremely pixelated, by the way, because this was before YouTube. And I was just mesmerized. I listened to him beatbox, and I went, "Oh my God, this guy is amazing!" So I put away my baggy jeans. I started dressing really nice, and I never looked back.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. The transparency, but I feel like we're being transported back to that. It's very cool. It shows that you are quite a storyteller. You've been on the air with us for like 5-6 minutes now. We've been caught up in everything you've been saying, man. I imagine that you're able to transfer that on stage pretty well and give quite a show. How does your show actually, I want to rewind for a second. How did you prep for playing Michael Jackson differently than some others did, at least from what I could see? You had a much different approach.
I did. I kind of went into it like everyone else. You have to learn about the industry. You have to learn about, you know, again, this is before YouTube. So you had to learn everything by books and videos and, you know, study. Again, I was the Michael Jackson kid in high school. I got best dancer in my school. Everyone knew me for my Michael Jackson. And I decided that I was going to do it. I saw a documentary in 2002 about a person doing a tribute to Michael Jackson. It was on VH1, and I went, "Oh my God, this is a job. I want to do this. Everybody thought I was nuts. And I can honestly say, I saw that documentary in 2002. He worked for a company called Legends in Concert. In 2015, I joined that company, and I've been with that company for 8 years. Wow. So I did exactly what I said I was going to do. But besides that, I had to kind of like learn the ropes. I started doing different theater shows, performing like Michael. In 2012, I moved out of Rhode Island and started working with a whole management team. And then that got me mixed into doing a lot of stuff in LA and in Vegas. And then in 2013, I was contracted to work with Travis Payne and Stacey Walker. I worked with them for about a month straight, where they taught me everything about dance. I had to take ballet, I had to take jazz, I had to take hip-hop classes, on top of learning 13 or 14 different Michael Jackson routines, from They Don't Really Care About Us, the Scream, to the drill, to all the stuff that they were going to do in This Is It. They pretty much taught me everything out of that entire catalog. And then once I was working with Travis, obviously that gets you set up with people in that general circle. So we ended up getting a hold of Seth Riggs, and Seth Riggs started personally training me on my voice to give me that real authentic Michael Jackson sound. And then I was doing shows for that. And then after that, that's when I got the message about Legends in Concert, and they asked me to audition. And then I auditioned, and then I was, next thing you know, I'm in Branson, Missouri doing their show for 6 months. So I would say that's kind of how my approach was. And I'm also the type of person that doesn't stop learning. Hmm. I've had a lot of great mentors throughout the years, some sadly who passed away, but I was that eager kid who wanted to know everything. So I really dived into all of the makeup aspects, the wigs, the costuming. I was always asking questions. If I saw somebody that I thought was really good, I would message them and ask them everything and anything, and whatever kind of advice they could give, I would just study.
I love the way that it is awarding the reliving of the King of Pop, because this is such a reliving of the King of Pop. This is really what you've done. You've really formed and gotten into the suit of Michael, into what it is to be him on stage. And that's really cool to see, especially I cannot encourage people enough to check out his work. You look up MJ the Illusion and you're going to see a lot of Michael's work. And we're going to play a sample of it for you during the interview today. Looking forward to being able to give that to the audience and looking forward to you coming to town here, Michael. I wanted to ask just a couple of really quick questions. I want to keep you too long. What was it like performing at the Rose Bowl? Michael performed at the 2018 Legendary Rose Bowl. What was that like?
Oh, man, that was surreal. The moment that made it really surreal is when I was singing, I want to say it was either Human Nature or I'll Be There, one of them, one of the ballads. Mm. I look out and I see 60,000 stars. like how do you 60,000 stars? But like, it was just one of those moments where you're just like, I'll reach out my hand to you, and then you just look out and you just go, in your brain, you can't do this on stage, but in your brain you're going, oh my god,
yeah
this is insane. So to answer your question, it was amazing. The cast and crew there was fantastic. The band that I was working with at the time were phenomenal players. Some of them worked with Berlin. One of them was the guitar or piano player of the Goo Goo Dolls. It was a magical moment. It was cool.
Sounds like it. Michael, when people come to the show on January 25th, what can they expect?
Okay, so this show is so special to me and just in general. I wanted to do something different than you mostly see a lot of the tribute shows that you see. A lot of tribute shows, they want to make things bigger and bigger and bigger, which is beautiful. We simplified it. We made it the way Michael's show was. Mm. Michael had four dancers. Michael had Lavelle Smith Jr., Randall Allaire, Jamie King, and Eddie Garcia. Those are it. That's the only dancers Michael really had, at least in this particular tour. We recreated my favorite tour, which is the 1992 Dangerous Tour. Oh. It was the first concert that I used to watch back when I was like 12 years old, watching VH1 on their special MJ days. Mm-hmm. They used to play the Michael's Greatest TV Moment, the Live in Bucharest, Dangerous Tour, World Tour, and the Jackson's American Dream movie. Mm. And so this concert is very, very special to me. I love the fact that Thriller was all made with black light. It had magical illusion in it. The jam, everything, it just, the whole flow of the show. So what we did is we went in and not only got all of the choreography exactly to the Dangerous Tour, I contacted Travis Payne because he was one of the dancers on the Dangerous Tour in 1993. He sent over the complete broke-down version of Jam, and then realized myself and the co-producer, which is my wife, we both looked at it and I said, you know, I think I like the 92 choreography better. Mm. And we ended up going over and breaking down the 92 choreography for Jam. It took us about a week straight breaking it down. We made each dancer personalized to one of Michael's dancers, meaning each dancer is dressed like one of Michael's dancers.
Wow.
Each dancer is exactly where one of Michael's dancers would be. We gave them, we said, okay, you're Lavelle Smith Jr. Watch this gentleman here. He's in the dark blue suit. And things like that. And that's what really sets our show apart from from anything else. And at the end of the day, it's about creating an illusion of Michael Jackson. That's why I like to refer to myself as an illusionist. Mm-hmm. Not so much an impersonator or a tribute artist.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, too, because you know, Sally and I have been doing this together for quite a while. Sally, much longer than I have, as far as like bringing acts like yourself to our town. And I've covered a lot of tribute or impersonators in that I've never, ever seen anybody like you, Michael. I've never seen anybody not only pull off what you do, but the detail. That's what I keep coming back to. And now talking to you, this is all adding up. It's all making sense. The dancers looked familiar to me. Like, I'm watching your stuff, and I'm like, wait, I remember that outfit. I remember this and that move and this and that. It shows, man. It really does. You guys really did your homework on this.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this has been such a huge passion project. Some of the stuff that we really wanted to create was the magic, you know? Mm-hmm. I want that moment that makes people, that really gives you that escape. So I don't want to give too much away, but we have a lot of special moments in the show that really makes you go, wow. And that's something I'm really proud of.
Michael,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. I really apologize. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I was going to give one of the things away, like the 45 degree lean.
Oh, you know, dude. Oh, man.
Do the smooth criminal lean.
That's the greatest dance move ever. I think that's the greatest dance move ever, man. And I was going to ask you off air. I didn't want to put you on the spot with it. Oh, that is awesome, bro. That is awesome. That is really talented.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool illusion. Like I said, we went in. The great thing is about recreating a show that was from the 90s is that a lot of the effects are able to be made today. Currently, that still gives it that timeless feel, and that still that you still get all of that nostalgia, which is really cool.
But I love that part of it, and boy, if there's a handful of things that are rising in popularity, nostalgia is one of those. We love nostalgia nowadays more and more. That's a great point to bring up. Michael, have you ever been to Wisconsin?
I have not. I'm really excited. And I'll actually have a day or two to really, because I'm coming from Canada. Mm. So we're going from Canada straight there. So we'll actually have like a day or two to kind of hang out. So that'd be cool.
You're going to enjoy it, man. And we're going to enjoy having you to town. We're going to give you a great crowd and give you a great time here. Thank you so much for the time, Michael. We're going to actually play a little sample of your work now, and then we're going to talk to Sally and let you get back to your day. But thank you so much for the time, Michael.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me.
You take care, and we'll see you soon.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Well, that was it just gives people a little taste of what they're going to get with Michael Knight coming to town with MJ the Illusion, reliving the King of Pop. Sally, what are the details we can give people about this amazing show?
This amazing show is Thursday, January 25th at 7:30. Tickets are $44 for adults and $10 for students. That we have sold quite a few student tickets so far.
That's awesome.
So be sure you bring your students along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can get these tickets either online at savorthearts.com, or you can call 715-424-2787 or stop by and see me at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids. Our office hours are Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2:30.
And keep in mind, you're not only purchasing a ticket to an amazing show, you're also helping support the arts in our community, help Sally and the team over there be able to bring these acts to our town. You are supporting so much more than and just taking in a great show, which it is, at a wonderful facility. Does give me an opportunity to shout out Eric Brittenocker at the Performing Arts Center. Eric usually with us for these interviews. A big thank you to him and all the work that him and his team does over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally, we've got a couple of minutes here to talk. When you first came across Michael, what was your impression, and how quickly did you reach out to his team to get him to town here?
Okay, so this is a story because we originally had somebody else booked through an agency. Mm-hmm. And they ended up having surgery back in May and canceled their season. And I was kind of in a panic. Yeah. And the agent said, don't worry, we've got somebody, you know, we think you'll like at least as well as the other person. Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw his videos and his dancing, it's so amazing.
It is.
Everything about him and just learning that he had trained with Michael Jackson's peeps, it's... there was no question that we would replace it with him, and I am so excited, especially, you know, I get excited scheduling my shows, but once I talk to the people like this and hear them and get to know them a little bit, it really, I can't wait for a couple of weeks from today.
One of the things I love about you, I love about the Arts Council, is it's made up of community members, and once kind of the details and some of these things get taken care of, you become a fan just like the rest of us.
Right?
And you're just as excited as the rest of us. You're you know, part of the community. Just cannot wait to take these acts in and be able to see them.
Exactly.
It's going to be a really fun show. This is a really nice one. This worked out really well. And a shout out to that agent doing a really smart move.
Exactly.
Not just leaving you hanging there and everything. That is a really cool thing. As a side note, does that happen often in that industry? I'm curious.
I wouldn't say often, but occasionally.
That's
yes.
Nice.
I think this is probably the second time something like this has happened in my 7.5 years here.
That's really smart on that agent. And thank you to them for doing that.
And another cool thing I have to mention that's happening, we have contacted Rapids School of Performing Arts. They are bringing 10 students who are in their competition team. They're going to work with this group, with the dancers, at 1 o'clock, the afternoon of the performance. They're going to learn part of Thriller. And they're going to come up on stage, kind of do their own thing for part of it, but then do some steps that they will have learned that afternoon. So for them to offer that kind of thing, we're super excited about it.
Gigantic thank you to them for that.
Yep.
That is beautiful. That's one of the best stories I've heard all day and will hear all day. Don't be surprised if you see some weird Italian hanging out in the background trying to impersonate those moves and everything. Oh my God, you said Thriller and immediately got all excited about that. That's so cool.
The kids are thrilled.
It's such a wonderful thing. His singing, his songwriting and all that and his production. We don't talk a lot about Michael Jackson's producing and his ear for sound, but the dancing. The dancing is so key. To being able to do this and pull it off. It's cool to hear that for the students to get this kind of like, you know, ability to pull in that knowledge from something like that.
Exactly.
And it again takes me back to Michael and the detail that him and his team did for something like this. I really appreciate him letting us look behind the curtain of all of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have other great acts coming up. I wanted to make a big shout out to Uptown coming out here in February. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a great show. That will be February 8th, Uptown from Humble Beginnings in Harlem, NYC. Uptown spreads their unique perspective on Motown soul classics to audiences all over the globe. We're looking forward to them coming to town.
Yep, absolutely. And we have a dinner associated with that also. So contact the Arts Council for more info.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. And my mom and dad have been very excited about the act coming in March. And we have two acts coming in March.
Yes.
March 7th, How Sweet It Is. Steve Leslie sings James Taylor. Mm-hmm. A lot of people going to be excited for that one.
Right.
And also in March, just a couple days later, Always Olivia, an Olivia Newton-John tribute.
Yep.
Now, she was going to come with us before. Was she supposed to be here before and this is a rescheduling? Or I'm mixing her up with somebody else. I apologize. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
We're very excited to have these two acts come in March and Uptown next month. Nice work on the schedule, Sally.
Thank you.
Nice work on
this.
If people want to find out more, how can they reach you, Sally? How can they find out more?
You can either go on to our website, savorthearts.com. There's lots of info there. Or give me a call, 715-424-2787.
We appreciate you so much. Say hi to your team for us, Eric and everybody. We will talk again real soon. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Find out more at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. And we'll be talking more about these shows as we get closer to them. We'll take a break and come back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Families in need in Wisconsin will get help buying groceries this summer. Families in the federal Summer Electronic Benefits Program will get food cards with $40 a month for each eligible child. Wisconsin is one of 35 states in the program. A new report says S&P 500 CEOs make 300 times more than the average worker. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate. She says some CEOs even make 1,000 times more.
There's no person in the world that adds as much value as 1,000 other people. There's no question if the 1,000 workers disappeared versus if the CEO disappeared, what would be the outcome?
Some shareholders are pushing to require executives to hold stock longer to reduce short-term stock manipulation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters introduced the Memorable Volunteer Program to help forge stronger connections with the community while providing an invaluable work experience for dedicated young staff. The MVP program invites area residents to immerse themselves in the game day experience by volunteering across various departments. They will play a crucial role in ensuring the satisfaction of fans while creating enduring memories. Volunteers are asked to dedicate their time to 12 games throughout the summer, and they'll receive meal vouchers on the nights they work and attend games. As a thank you, volunteers will also receive a full season pass. Training sessions will begin in the spring, and no prior experience is required. You can visit raftersbaseball.com for more information. The next Networking at Night with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce will be January 15th. The Spot by Jacoby will be hosting from 4 to 6 p.m. This is open to the public and free to attend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
Badgers beat the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, number 15th ranked Wisconsin, battled but got the win at Ohio State. The final 71-60. Max Klesman scoring 18 points in the second half. Number 11th ranked Marquette upset at home, losing 69-62 to Butler. The Golden Eagles now have lost three of their last five. College football, after 17 years at Alabama, Nick Saban announces his retirement from coaching. Saban is 72 years old. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday. At 12-5, the Cowboys are the best team Green Bay has faced all season. I asked Jordan Love, they found a way to win against the Chiefs. Is that going to help them this week in Dallas?
Oh, definitely one of the best defenses we've seen all year. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, going back to the Kansas City game, Detroit, I mean, those are two games we played really good defense as well. So just having that mindset, we got to play our best ball. And obviously going into the playoffs, a mindset, you know, be able to take advantage of every play, execute every play, and be able to play at a high level going against them because they do a really good job.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm watch has been issued for our area. Some freezing drizzle will roll in overnight, with snow ramping up tomorrow morning. 2 to 5 inches will fall throughout the day, with winds whipping near 40 miles per hour. Friday night, as snow continues, it turns fluffier, but still puts down another 1 to 3 inches. Right now, it's 30.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food, or medication, or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for News Talk and Sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 11th, 2024. I have your host, James Jay, and I am joined by one of our favorite people, Anna James, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Anna, good to see you.
Good to see you too, James.
I say one of our favorite people. I should also include my mother in that. I ran into my parents this morning, check in on them, grab some coffee, and my mom's like, "Why are you smiling about?" I was like, "Oh, I'm talking with Anna later today. I know I'm going to learn something." She got excited too. So no pressure.
Well, thank you, James's mom.
Big fan. And we love talking with you. I genuinely mean that. I know our listeners learn things from talking with you. And oftentimes, even if we're not necessarily learning something, we're getting a different perspective or maybe even just backing up something that we knew already. Mm-hmm. And that none of these things can ever be taken lightly. We really appreciate the work you do.
Well, thank you.
We're talking winter today. Winter is here.
Yes.
Winter isn't coming. Winter is here.
Yes.
And adapting to that.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting there during the Tuesday storm and thinking about what we would talk about today, and I really was struggling, and then I looked outside and was like, all of these trees are surviving the winter, all of the animals outside are surviving the winter, and how much time do we actually think about how they do that? How do they survive these storms, these winter storms, right? We get to stay tucked into our house, snuggled under a blanket. We go to the grocery store first, right? We prepare for the storm coming so we can huddle. We can huddle inside. But how do animals, how do trees, how do plants do that when they don't have, you know, the luxuries that we do, right? So I figured today what we would do is maybe talk a little bit about winter averages in Wisconsin and then some of those strategies that animals and plants use to survive winter.
When I first moved up here, this was one of the earliest things that I came here in the winter months when I first moved up. And I couldn't understand how these animals did this. All the animals I saw were in zoos. and they got, you know, taken care of in the winter and everything. They had somebody looking out for them. I see raccoons. I see squirrels. I see all these rabbits. And these animals that I think are great and they're awesome, but I'm worried about them. And I tell my Nan and Papa this. And they fell on the floor laughing. Jimmy, they're okay. They know how to do this. And my Nana shows me this, like, see this chipmunk? And I'm watching this chipmunk, and he grabs a nut, and he runs away. And that same chipmunk comes back and grabs another one and goes away. And it started to click. It started to come through. And I think this is a topic that most of us feel like we kind of lightly know.
Yeah.
But we've never really had a chance to dive into.
Right. And there's some really, really cool strategies I can't wait to talk about and some that might make you laugh at the end. So just to maybe put it into perspective a little bit. So in Wisconsin, our winters usually start at mid to late November and then they can last generally March. Sometimes we'll have snow in April, right? That's not uncommon. So our coldest months in Wisconsin are January to February, where our average temperatures are around 20 degrees Fahrenheit, but we can see lows in the negative. So I mean, we have a couple of days coming up where we will not reach above the single digits, right? And and lows into the negatives. Wisconsin's actually lowest recorded temperature was on February 2nd, 1966, and the lowest recorded temperature was negative 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really cold.
That's incredible.
Right. Right.
I can't even wrap my mind
no,
around
No, I can't either. Mm-hmm. Right. And then obviously we're Wisconsin. We get snow on average. It kind of depends, I guess, where we're at in the state. So in central Wisconsin, kind of northeastern Wisconsin, our average snowfalls are 40 to 50 inches per year. But then you get in the snow belt up in Vilas County, and they usually have around 100 to 125 inches a year, which is a lot of snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
1904, we had our greatest 24-hour snowfall on record, and that was 26 inches in Nielsville in one snowstorm.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, who knows how much snow we're going to get here with the with this next storm, right? I think we got maybe 8 inches last storm.
Think so.
I think they're calling for another maybe 9, right? That's not 26,
though. No, that's still, wow.
That, yeah.
That's it. A lot of these stats, I think we've heard similar things before. Yeah. I've never thought of that one, and I've never heard that one, greatest 24-hour snowfall. Yeah. That was an interesting one. That's a great one to look up. That's a good one.
Yeah, and it actually was a lot harder to find some of this information than what I thought it would be. So anyways, why don't we just dive right into how plants like trees and our biennial plants, some of our perennials survive. Trees in our temperature zone have evolved with adaptations to avoid some of the freezing temperatures that we do see here in Wisconsin, right? So the trees that we have are specially, like, they have specialized characteristics to make them survive here. So we'll talk about deciduous trees first. So those are our maples, oaks, birch, and other trees. These are the trees that drop their leaves in the fall. So when they drop their leaves in the fall, that is in preparation for winter. So they're going to drop their leaves, and that eliminates the amount of water that they're having to utilize throughout the winter season. So that's in preparation for them having to store water so they don't actually freeze. So trees could freeze if they were utilizing all that water, and then the freeze would kill them.
Wow.
So these trees will store most of their water as sap, right? Our maple trees, that's sap. It's where you get syrup. They'll actually store a lot of that water as sap in their root systems, where there's less of a chance of freezing because the root systems are insulated in the soil.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Well, then when they actually drop their leaves in the fall, that's adding an extra layer of insulation. And then you have snow. And then comes spring, those leaves that are around the trees, spring, they're kind of all decaying. That nutrients just goes right back into the root system, and it's kind of like a cycle. Wow. So the leaves that fall, they're decaying, the nutrients go back into the tree, and then that helps them grow in the spring. So it's just like this, this really cool system.
Yeah. And these trees evolved to this? They didn't start out doing this? They sort of evolved to this, you would say.
Right. Or
it's hard to tell, maybe.
It's hard to tell, right? Yeah. It's hard to tell. So that's a million-dollar question, right?
Wow, fascinating, though. That is really, really interesting.
Yep. So that's it's really cool that trees, right, we don't really think of them as a living creature a lot, but but they are. They're really neat.
That is growing in knowledge, though.
Yeah.
The more we're learning more about root systems, what's going on beneath
how
us in the ground.
How they communicate.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Blows your mind.
Yes.
The way fungi communicate and all these things. I can go down a rabbit hole for days on that stuff. Like, what happened to James? Like, he's at his laptop. It's really interesting.
It is, yeah. And then we also have to be mindful of our evergreen trees. These are our spruces, our pines, and our firs, some cedar trees. And they have adaptations to winter. So these are your Christmas trees, right? So these are the ones that maintain their leaves throughout the winter. They're actually, their needle-shaped leaves have less of a surface area, so they don't hold on to, or snow can't compact on them, right? And then they're actually, the needles are covered in cutin, which is like a waxy substance that cuts water loss and then also protects them from freezing. Conifer trees also maintain a certain amount of photosynthesis year-round that provides nutrients to the tree. And then the sap of evergreen trees is much stickier, like much more viscous, and it's not as susceptible to freezing. So that's why if you're going to cut a Christmas tree down, or you put like your hand on a pine tree and you get that sap, it's really hard to get off your skin.
Yeah.
Really difficult. And then the shape of those evergreen trees is actually a strategy for them to live throughout the winters as well. So if you think about a Christmas tree, right, that's that conical shape that they have. That helps the any heavy snowfall fall from the tree.
Oh, wow.
So just the shape of them is really unique to think about. Or else if all that snow were to pack on, a lot of their branches would die off would fall off. And then when you have a branch that falls off, it leaves an open scar. So just the shape of the tree is a adaptation or a strategy.
I would never have thought that. That's really wild.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
Wow. I know.
I don't want to brag, but I, in the last year or two, have learned the difference between annuals and perennials.
Yeah.
Don't want to show off here or anything, but I've been learning a little bit. No. I don't know that much. I don't know that much. But I finally did understand the difference between these things. And perennials in Wisconsin are another interesting one.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm. Perennials are the plants that come back year after year. And they have some adaptations as well. So in Wisconsin, we have perennials like asters, goldenrods, and many others that have learned to adapt. So the above ground portion of these perennial plants will die back. Usually we see them, you know, they're at the end of their growing season, right? Mm-hmm. That could be late summer. That could be late fall, depending on the plant. But that above portion of the plant will die off, but their root system remains active throughout the winter. So their root systems are protected and insulated by the snow, actually, and then that helps the plants grow back. So when we have snow, we're thinking of snow as being an insulator for all of those root systems underground, which is really cool, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're making use of the time of the season.
Right, right. And it's a season of rest, right? Mm-hmm. Winter is a season of rest for everybody. Yeah. Rest and rest. Restoration. In many cases, some of the perennial plants actually need to go through a winter season in order to grow the next season. So those seeds need to go through a season of winter. And then the moisture freezes those seeds and expands them so that the seed will break, like the hard seed shell breaks much more easier. And then they'll be able to grow come spring.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just nature, man. It is just beautiful. That is awesome. Huh. What about, this is now talking about the plants, the trees, that's something I hadn't thought much about. Mm-hmm. But with animals, we were touching on before, I've thought about this one before. What about with animals and how they handle the environment?
Yeah, so there are two environmental cues that trigger physical or behavioral changes in animals that helps them prepare for winter. And these two cues are photoperiod, like our day length, and average temperature. So once the photoperiod day length starts to get shorter, temperatures drop, these adaptations will start to kick in. Ecologists have found that animals respond to these environmental cues in three different ways. Now I'm going to go into the more scientific way, right? And then I'll break it down a little bit. So there's three terms. The chionophiles, which is a Greek word meaning snow loving, are animals that thrive in the snow and cold conditions, snowy and cold conditions. And so these animals are, like, we think about the animals maybe in the Arctic, right? Mm-hmm. They thrive in those conditions. Yeah, yeah. Then we have chionophores, and that's from the Greek word meaning snow tolerating. Mm. So these do not have like a definite adaptation for life in the snow. Instead, they'll change their behavior to survive. So we think about hibernation, right? That's a change in behavior. And then we have chionophobes, which phobe usually means no, thank you. So yeah, chionophobes are from the Greek word meaning snow fearing. They're not able to adapt to the snow and are most commonly found in warmer regions in the winter. That's migration. So in simple terms, we have animals that use three basic strategies to survive winter. They hibernate, they migrate, or they tolerate.
Not that different than us.
Right.
Not that different than human beings. Yep. We know plenty of people that just love this time of year. Other people that are just going to hibernate. They're just going to hide and stay in the home and
some
stuff.
Some are going to migrate even.
Yes, exactly. Going south for the winter.
Yep. It's funny. So we see all of these, you know, humans as much as animals have adapted to winter as well.
Yeah. I don't know that we spend enough time thinking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's interesting and all that. It's also, I find it inspiring.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. So much of what you've told us already and some of the things that, you know, we see in our day-to-day life, I find it very inspiring. Cardinals do something interesting during this time.
Yeah, so we see cardinals all throughout winter, right? They're not a bird that generally migrates, so they have a really cool behavior. Well, they will puff up their feathers. When they puff up their feathers, the air will get trapped into their feathers, and that provides them an extra layer of insulation. Wow. Against the cold. Yeah. So, and then their beaks, they have these cone shaped beaks that help them crack open different seeds so they can survive and they can eat in the winter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one of those birds that is so beautiful to see in the winter. We almost associate it with winter.
Right.
The red on the white snow, so much of that. Never thought about why they didn't migrate. That's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, it's funny that you say we associated cardinals a lot with winter. I don't know how many Christmas decor things I've seen where there's like a cardinal on a snow globe or a cardinal in snow, but it is true. So when you see a cardinal, know that they do have special adaptations that help them live here throughout the winter.
Amazing. Just amazing.
And then, so ruffed grouse are kind of a funny one. They're They're an upland game bird species is what we call them. We have them, some of them around here, some of them more up north. So they combine a seemingly irrational behavior with a really specialized anatomical adaptation that makes for the perfect grouse igloo.
Oh, all right.
I told you some of these were going to be kind of odd, and here we go. So grouse, they can eat enough buds in a half hour to sustain them for a day or even more because they have such a large crop, which is a part of the esophagus where they can store food, and then they will choose to digest that later. So in very cold temperatures where we have snow, grouse will actually dive bomb headfirst into the snow, and then they'll work their way down until they're completely covered up in the snow. So they're making like this igloo around themselves. Yeah. And then that the body heat that they have will actually heat their little, you know, hut up. Yeah, I don't know what you call it, but just like their little space up to a couple of degrees above the air temperature. And then with the food stored in their crop, they don't have to worry about going out, you know, every hour or so to eat. They can just sustain themselves on the food that they harvest and stored, which is really interesting.
It's also, and I can't help as you're saying that, realizing, you know, and I know human beings do similar things to this, but it's wild to me in the animal kingdom when this happened. They didn't get an instruction book.
Right.
Like, there had to be a grouse that figured this out and showed everybody else and how to figure something like that. You know what? I'm just going to dive bomb into the snow and make this work.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
I know. Wow. It's just so interesting. And so I don't know if some of the listeners have ever been out walking through the woods after a fresh snowfall. Mm. I have. I
love it.
I'm
an
upland game bird hunter. So I will go out there, my dogs, and they'll be out there, and then they'll go into a hard point, or you'll flush, or you'll almost step on a grouse. It's like, what are you doing? You don't even see that they would be there, right? Huh. So it's a really cool adaptation and interesting to think about.
Bears, certainly famous for hibernating and that. What about them?
Yeah, so they, I think that's one of the ones where we know that they do it, right? We know that bears hibernate. But how do they sustain themselves throughout an entire season with being asleep, not waking up, not eating, right? So they'll forage a lot more. They'll put on all of that weight throughout spring, summer, and fall. And then when they go into winter, right, they're hibernating. They're sustaining themselves off of those reserved nutrients that they've stored in their bodies. But a cool thing that they do is they will actually recycle their urine during hibernation to utilize the nitrogen in their blood, their guts, and their liver. So this conserves their strength, their muscle mass, and promotes healing from injuries that they went into hibernation with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bears are incredible to me in general. And learning, and I did not know that.
Yeah.
And learning that, like, I only just gains even more respect. And the one of the most perfect, like, creatures on the planet.
Yeah.
The way they were built, everything about them. This is amazing. And I didn't even know that part of it.
Yeah.
That only brings it all the more home. Like, I stand on that statement. That is really amazing. They're really amazing animals.
They are. It's really unique. And then I want to talk a little bit about our migrating species. Mm-hmm. So mainly some of our songbirds, a majority of our songbirds, right, will migrate, and then a majority of our waterfowl species will migrate. You do have what I like to refer to as some of those lazy mallards that will stay around. Mallards or sometimes geese, they'll stick around for as long as what they can. They'll just hold on to that cold. They'll hold on to whatever open water that they can find. But they actually have a really cool strategy to adapt to the cold so their feet don't freeze. Huh. So in their feet, they have arteries and veins that act as heat exchange. So their legs are intertwined with arteries that carry warm blood to their extremities, like their feet, and then their veins carry the cold blood back to their heart. Whoa. So the heat is exchanging from arteries to veins before the blood reaches their feet, and that prevents frostbite. So a duck's feet will never freeze.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That is impressive. That is, and I got to get that. I got to get that feature.
Yeah.
That seems like a great feature to have. I got frostbite in my toes. That's a great feature to have. That's a great one.
Yeah, well.
That's really interesting. Man, that is wild. You know, another thing that comes to mind, too, as we're talking about this, Anna, is somebody had to discover these things.
Yeah.
A gigantic thank you to the scientific community spending so much time with our animal kingdom and learning and understanding so much of this and getting this research.
Right. And it took curiosity, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody was just standing there in winter and saw all of these lazy, air quotes, right? Lazy mallards that chose not to migrate and thought, how are they here and their feet not frozen?
We have in this neck of the woods over here, we have a family of albino deer that would just, I take pictures of every chance I get. I 6 or 7 years I've been watching this family and these things. And deer are certainly one of the more popular animals we see this time of year. What about white-tailed deer?
Yeah, so white-tailed deer are really cool. I think you can see them, right? They're out throughout most of North America, or most of North America, I'll say. But depending on where they're at depends on what their body size is like, right? So we have, generally in Wisconsin, we have pretty big-bodied deer. Up in Canada, you can see very large-bodied white-tailed deer. So they've got a really cool strategy where in the fall, they will start to shed their summer coats, and they'll replace them with their thicker undercoat. The thicker undercoat is dark. So in spring, when you see a deer, normally they're shedding their winter coat. They have that light, really beautiful tan color to them. And then in winter, they get darker with their winter coats. So their overcoat will grow. And like I said, it's darker. They'll actually have longer hair. And then the hair is hollow. And these hairs are called guard hairs. And they'll absorb heat from the sun to help insulate the deer's body.
Wow, that is impressive. That's again nice feature to have. That's a pretty cool thing to be able to do. So when it comes to all these animals we've talked about, I think the one that really escapes a lot of us is amphibians. We definitely don't really think much about amphibians this time of year.
Nope, we don't think about amphibians like our frogs or our turtles, but man, do they have some odd adaptation strategies. Just that, and I think maybe some of the listeners are going to get a kick out of these. So when we think about some of the most amazing overwintering adaptations, we think about those that amphibians have. So some Wisconsin frogs, like mainly our spring peepers and our wood frogs, they'll actually freeze solid during the winter.
Like
a popsicle, they'll freeze solid. It's so curious. So when temperatures fall, the frogs will start to insulate themselves in leaf litter on the forest floor, anywhere where they can really find shelter and good insulation. Their body temperature will drop to freezing, and then their metabolism will first speed up so they can produce like a natural antifreeze.
That's great.
I know. This natural antifreeze is a type of sugar called glycol that helps them not to freeze. And then their frogs, they'll usually, they will gradually stop breathing, and then their hearts will stop and their brain waves will cease. So in all medical terms, these frogs are dead. Right?
No, they're not.
Come spring, they thaw out and they resume their lives.
Could you imagine that? As a human being, like, that's one of the weirdest things. Like, you're Han Solo, basically.
Cryostasis is the only thing.
What's been up, guys? What did I miss? Is that wild? I never heard that before.
Yeah, just so curious.
What about turtles?
Yeah, so turtles are one. It's kind of funny what they do, but we're just going to dive right into it.
Okay,
so most turtles spend the winter under ice. And so I've seen some really cool pictures. I've never really seen it myself, but I've seen some cool pictures where people will be on the ice. It's clear ice, and they'll actually see a turtle right underneath of them. And it's just like in the ice, in the water, frozen, just there. So the turtles will spend winter under the ice where they can bury themselves in mud or become semi-active. They'll lower their body temperature and they'll slow their metabolism as much as 99%. Because they can't come up for air, right? They're under the ice, they're in the mud. They will actually take in oxygen through their skin, their mouth, or their cloaca. For those of you that don't know what a cloaca is, it is their butt. Through their butt.
It's funny too, because we always especially in cartoons and everything, turtles are always smart and all this and that. They're a lot smarter than I thought they were.
Why not?
You got to survive, right?
You do. And I don't. That's one of my favorite facts to give. It's so funny and it's just hilarious. I've done some naturalist programs with kids, school age kids, and when I ask them, how do you think a turtle survives in the winter? They don't know. And then when you tell them that fact, they just it's it's too funny to see their reaction.
That one's staying in the brain. They're remembering that one.
Yep, exactly.
We're going to remember, if not all, a good majority of this, Anna. This was really informative, as it always is when you join us. If people have follow-up questions or want to know more maybe about some of what we talked about, how can they reach you?
They can reach me. You can either stop into the Extension office over at the Wood County Courthouse, or you could email me at anna.m.james, J-A-M-E-S, at WISC, W-I-S-C.edu.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Special